If I were to ask you today to define holiness, what would you tell me? How would you define that? Some of you right now are probably thinking, well, it's better that that this is a broadcast rather than sitting right there because he'd probably ask me, and I might just do that. But nonetheless, when we think about holiness, we hear that word a lot. What does it mean? In your life, I want you to think just for a moment about how you would define holiness. If somebody were to come up to you and say, are you holy? And I know that sounds like a really weird question, but would you be able to answer it? And what characteristics and qualities would they see in you that would determine whether or not you are holy? Well, we're going to be continuing our series on kingdom culture. Now we're talking about what is the culture of the kingdom, not this world, but the kingdom culture. And we need to resist the world's pull. And that's exactly what we've been discussing over this series. So grab your Bible, turn it over to 1 Peter chapter 1. And today we're going to look at the call to holiness. I'll see you in just a second. Hey folks, we want to welcome you to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I'm so glad that you're joining us today. Just a moment ago, there was a couple of things I asked you. One of the things was, if you had to define holiness to somebody today, how would you define it? The other question is, if you were to apply that definition to yourself, would you be considered somebody that is a holy person? Now remember, our series has been about kingdom culture, not worldly culture. And what we have to do as believers is we have to resist that pull of the world that just wants to pull us in and wants to pull us away from the Lord. So today, we want to look at a call to holiness. And our text is actually going to be, it's going to come from 1 Peter chapter 1. So if you got your Bible, go ahead and start turning over there as you hear me talk. So as believers in Christ, we're called to live lives that are set apart from the world around us. We are called to be spiritually segregated. Now, that doesn't mean that we're to shun anybody. That doesn't mean that we're to just not have anything to do with people who are of the world, as it might be defined. But yet, the bottom line is that there is something that the world should see about us that says we are not like them. You know, I've always said this, Jesus in you changes you. It changes your life. The Holy Spirit leads you and guides you in that spiritual growth journey. And the more that you grow, the more that you become like Christ. And Christ and the world, they're not the same. They're not similar. They don't parallel. They cross. Believe me, if you are out there living a Christian life, people are going to notice it. The people in your sphere of influence, your workplace, your school, wherever it may be, they are going to notice that there is something different about you. So in a culture that often promotes values and behaviors that are contrary to God's standard, you and I are called to be holy as He is holy. Now today, we're going to explore that call to holiness as it's outlined in 1 Peter chapter 1. We're particularly going to be looking at verses 15 and 16. Now, as we do that, I want you to think about why we're in this passage. I want you to think about what it is that we're trying to get across. So the purpose of this Bible study today is to challenge and to encourage believers to live lives that reflect the holiness of God. That's the key thing, for us to live our lives in a manner that reflects the holiness of God and resisting the pressures of the culture that's around us, because folks, culture is seeping in everywhere. You hear it a lot of times in athletics. It's like, oh, this new coach has built a great culture at this school. What is your culture? Yeah, I've said before, as believers, our culture should be a biblical culture because we should be touting a biblical worldview. And if Jesus in you changes you, then people around you are obviously going to see that. Folks, you can't hide as a Christian. I know that a lot of people say, oh, yes, you can. I've been doing it for years. Or you'll see somebody. But folks, I would really challenge the question as to whether or not there was a genuine conversion experience. Because I will promise you this, a believer cannot live in sin without the beckoning of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is very, very persistent. Yeah, I know that that myself, as well as our associate pastor at the church, has always said this: the most miserable people in the world are not people that are lost, yeah, because they don't know any better. Most miserable people in the world are the people who are born again or saved that are outside of the will of God or are not living as they should. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit will beckon that heart. So let's look at our scripture text for today. We're looking at 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 15 and 16, and it says this. Now, and I want to go ahead and throw this in. A lot of times folks have asked me, they said, well, what translation are you reading from during the Bible study? just for the record, I use a New King James Version. Now, a lot of people would sit back and say, well, are you a King James only? No, I'm not. It's just that I grew up on a King James Bible. That was just the way it was. You didn't have all these other translations along the way. That's what I grew up with. That's what I memorized scripture in. That's what I'm comfortable with. But listen, whatever you're comfortable with, within reason, you use that because the Lord is still going to be able to allow the Holy Spirit to use it in your life. So anyway, back to our scripture text. Our scripture text is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 to 16. Again, I'm reading from a New King James Version. It says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, again, we're grateful and thankful for the opportunities that you give us. And today, Father, you've given us yet another opportunity to be able to gather around your word. Lord, I thank you for today's audience. I don't know who they are, but you do know who they are. Lord, I pray that you will speak to their hearts. I pray that you will draw them closely. I pray that you will give them strength for the journey to be able to live a life that is separate from the world in such a manner that that when people look at them, they'll say, wow, there's something different about them. And then, Lord, I pray you'll give them the opportunity to share what it is. Lord, it's not that I go to church. It's not that I'm a good person. It's the fact that I have Jesus within my heart. So, Lord, I pray right now that you will speak to us and that you'll give us courage to act on what we hear today. And then, Lord, as always, I ask that you would bless me as your messenger for these moments. Help me, Lord, to lift you up, that you truly might draw all men unto you. Work in hearts and lives is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we look at this particular passage today, I always like to give you a little bit of historical content about what, you know, what is taking place. What is the context of the verses that we're looking at? Okay, so Peter's letter was written to encourage and to strengthen believers who were facing persecution and who were facing trials. Now, try to get that in your mind. Draw that picture. This is who Peter is writing to. Now, in this passage, you know, Peter is reminding them of their calling to holiness, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. Now, it's very, very interesting that if you've been around me any over the past, I would say getting close to a decade now, you have heard me preach against this thing I have defined as circumstantial faith, meaning that how we feel about the Lord and our spirituality ebbs and flows based on our ever-changing circumstances. Folks, we cannot do that. Yeah, because the bottom line is there are going to be some difficult circumstances in your life. There are going to be some trials and tribulations. I'm not saying there might be. I'm telling you there are going to be. But how you feel about the Lord and your walk with Him should not change because of the ever-changing circumstances that are in our lives. So notice what I said just a moment ago, that Peter is addressing those who are going through some tough times, are going through persecutions, are going through trials, and he is giving them a reminder that they are called to holiness. Now, quick thing I want to interject right here. You and I have been called to holiness as born-again believers, so we're not any different than those that he is writing this letter to. Even if you are in the midst of difficult circumstances and trials and situations, we are still called to be holy. So let's look at the scripture. Peter begins by reminding believers of the holiness of God and the call to reflect that holiness in their own lives. The word holy actually means to be set apart or dedicated to God. So when you sit back, remember when I asked you to start of our broadcast, I said, how would you define holiness? What does it mean? And some of you may have come up with some big, long, drawn-out answer. Some of you may have thought, I don't have any idea how I would define it. Some of you hadn't thought twice about it. But bottom line is the definition of holy. The word holy means to be set apart or to be dedicated to God. So if we're called to holiness, that means that we are called to be set apart for God. It means that we are to reflect who He is. We're dedicated to Him. And if we're dedicated to Him, every aspect of our life should prove that. What we say, what we do, where we go should be based on our biblical worldview as we follow our Lord and Savior. So the word holy simply means to be set apart or dedicated to God. Now, as followers of Christ, we're called to live lives that are distinct from the world around us. And I really don't feel like I have to explain this part of it, because you understand when we talk about worldly versus spiritual, most people know exactly what I'm talking about. And I know that you do as well, because society is trying to pull us away from all the godly values that we know and love in the Word of God. So as we consider this, and as we think about being followers of Christ, we're called to live those lives that are very distinct from the world around us. Now, part of the problem is a lot of times we don't want to do that. The reason why is we want to try to blend into the fabric of the world around us, because we don't want anybody to say anything about us. We don't want anybody to go, oh, they're a Christian. We don't want to lose friends, or however you want to say it. You know what? You might be riding that bus today. I hope and pray that if you are, that you'll get off at the next stop, which is any second now, okay? But you and I are called to live in a very distinct way that is completely different than the world around us. Our conduct, our speech, and our attitude should all reflect the holiness of God. Just what I mentioned a moment ago. All the things that we say, all the things that we do should be a reflection of who God is within us. When people see us, they should see something that's different. And when they see something that's different, it needs to be not us that they see, it needs to be God that they see. Now, it's interesting that in our text today, Peter actually quotes from Leviticus 11:44, where God commands his people to be holy because he is holy. Now, this commandment is not just for the Israelites of old, but it's for all believers in any day, in any age. You and I are called to be holy because our God is holy. Plain and simple. If we're going to be like him, if we're going to emulate him, then we need to understand that one of the greatest characteristics that he has is his holiness. So are we striving for that in our day-to-day world? Are we laying up treasures down here on earth, or are we laying up those treasures in heaven? You know, I always like to remind people of the fact that we're going to be with our Lord and Savior. If you're a believer, you're going to be with our Lord and Savior a lot longer than you will ever be on this earth. You know, Word of God tells us life is but a vapor that appeareth for only a short while and then vanisheth away compared to all of eternity. We sing the great old hymn, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. I can't imagine 10,000 years. And I can't imagine having, you know, an infinite number of 10,000 years beyond that. So we're going to be in heaven a whole lot longer. So can we live our lives in a holy way while we're here, while we are strangers and aliens here on this earth, striving to reach our home, which is the kingdom of heaven? We are called to simply be holy because our God is holy. All right. So we look at this passage. If you had to pick out a thesis, I still remember that from high school English, or a main idea in the passage we're looking at today. The main idea of this passage is that as believers, we are called to live lives that are set apart from the world that's around us. We're to resist those cultural pressures that would dilute our witness. We're to resist those cultural pressures, and we're to commit to God's standard. Our call to holiness is a reflection of the holiness of God himself. And as you and I both know, the world is definitely trying to grab a hold of us and pull us in its direction. It's not something that you get up every day and sit back and say, oh, I'm just hitting a tough skid in my life. Every single day of your life, you have to go out and purpose to live out biblical values. You have to purpose to live a life of holiness in your workplace, in your school, at your job, in the grocery store, wherever you may be, on the highway. Boy, that's a tough one for me. Yeah, you have to live out that godly witness. I always like to share, honestly, this really happened to me, that there's a place, if you're one of our home folks, you'll understand where I'm getting ready to describe. If you're not, I'll explain it to you. But there's like a 4-lane road. Well, you 2 lanes each direction. And, when I'm on the way to church, there's one point where our 2 lanes drop down into 1 lane. And it always looks like a foot race. Everybody is in that right-hand lane jockeying for position because you got to get over into the left-hand lane. And man, I still remember one day, and I thought, man, this guy's going to try to cut me off. So it looked like something you'd see on television. I thought, this is going to be a race, and it's all going to be right with the world. I'm going to win this race because I'm in the right lane, or in the correct lane. And of course, I get down there, and all of a sudden, this person decides they're going to come over into my lane, whether I was there or not. So I, did what every good Christian would do. I laid on the horn, and they could see my hand gestures and everything else. Now, I didn't go as far as to give a derogatory hand gesture, in case you were wondering. But at any rate, he pulls, he starts to pull over. Well, I gunned it. And I mean, we must have been that close. Well, then he falls in, behind me, because there was enough room for him to get in behind me. And so just a few more miles up the road is where the church entrance is. So I remember putting a turn signal on, turning into the church, and this person turned in behind me, and they were on their way to church today. And I thought to myself, I certainly wasn't a good example. I was not living a life of holiness to the point where, and I literally hid, man. I waited till they got out because I didn't want them to see me, because the next thing they were going to see was me up in a pulpit preaching a sermon to them and saying, isn't that the guy that was shaking his fist at you and blowing the horn? So we live and we learn, but we're to live out our faith. We are to be holy as our God is holy. That me doing that was not a good example of holiness. So we know and understand. Now that we understand what the concept of holiness is, now that we understand, what holiness means, how do we make application to that in our lives? And I want to once again remind you, head knowledge is great, but head knowledge isn't any good unless it becomes applicable in our lives. We have to put to practice the things that we learn from God's Word. So as we consider the call to holiness today, we must examine our own lives and ask ourselves if we are truly living in a way that reflects the holiness of God. So think about that for a moment. How would you answer that question to yourself? And I always love the old quote. I believe it might have been Shakespeare. To thine own self be true. Yeah. Can you be true to yourself? If you cannot be honest with yourself, you can't be honest with anybody. So as you ask yourself that question, or better yet, as the Holy Spirit poses that question in your life today, the question is simply this. Are you living in a way that reflects the holiness of God? Now, you already know what the answer to that question is, because the Holy Spirit's either told you are or you are not, which means if you are, great, man, I'm proud of you. If you're not, then that means that there are some adjustments that you need to make. You need to apply this to your life to be able to live a life that is pleasing to our Father. See, are we allowing the culture around us to shape our values and behaviors, or are we standing firm in our commitment to God's standards? For me, it is incredible the amount of items, I'll just say it that way, that we have become very accepting of in our country today. Things that 30 and 40 years ago, you would have never, ever thought even would be on the table. Not only have they gotten on the table in 2026, but they have become an acceptable way of doing things. And by the way, here's the key to that. They're anti-biblical things. The culture, folks, is changing around us. The Word of God never changes. Salvation never changes. Following the Lord never changes. The call to be holy never changes. all right, which is a great, great thing. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have to do some things to reach an ever-changing culture with the gospel message. But the second question that I've asked you today is, are you allowing the culture that's happening around you that is not biblical to shape your values and to shape your behaviors? I've used just a couple of things as examples. I can remember growing up that if somebody said a curse word on television, that station was going to be shut down by the FCC before the night was over with. I mean, it was just plain and simple. You just did not do that. I can still remember that when you watch old-time television, even couples that were married that were portrayed in these shows, even if it showed a bedroom scene, there were two separate beds. They didn't show them as being in the same bed. And now, some of y'all are going, well, that's just gone way too far. Now, what we wind up doing is we wind up buying into the culture. We have adjusted to the culture rather than us staying with the values that we know that are biblical values. And what happens is now what we say is when the culture around us continues to pivot, our philosophy is, well, okay, if you can't beat them, join them. Everybody else is doing it. This is the way this goes. This is the world we live in today. Listen, you can say all those things, folks, but it's not an excuse for you to not hold to biblical culture, to not hold to the values that God has instilled in us through His Word, because He's not changing, and those things are not changing either. You know, I'm more concerned about seeing people go to heaven than I am drawing a crowd. That's plain and simple. You know, when you preach the gospel, you have to understand that the gospel is offensive to those who don't know the Lord. You can expect some opposition, plain and simple. So are we allowing the culture in our society, the culture in our workplace, the culture in our schools? There's a culture everywhere we go, but are we allowing the culture around us to shape our values and our behaviors? Or are we going to stand firm in our commitment to God's standards? See, we must also be mindful of the impact that our lives have on those around us. I've given an example as part of my personal testimony before that somehow, I know how, it was because of the hand of God. Back, you know, almost 40 years ago, I qualified, the basic academy or police academy, basic school is what they call it now, to have that extra week to do breath alcohol school. And I can still remember that they said, well, we're going to teach you, you know, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Then on Thursday and Friday, what's going to happen is half the class is going to drink and the other half is going to run tests on them, sobriety test, Alka-Seltzer test and breathalyzer test. Then what's going to happen is on the next day, on Friday, you all will switch. Those that drank the day before will run the test, and those who ran the test the day before will be the ones that will drink. And I still remember going to the academy director, and I said, I don't drink. And I still remember the words that he told me. He goes, well, you will this week. And it almost made me mad. I was like, no, I will not. I said, I'm not going to do that. Now, before you get crazy, I'm not saying that taking a drink of alcohol is going to send you to hell. It was just a personal barrier, a personal standard that I had set in my life as a pastoral major who had just graduated from college. To me, that was not being a biblical example to those that were around me. So I said, yeah, I'm not going to do that. And he goes, well, you're going to have to. I said, no, I don't have to. I said, because the rest of the folks that were hired with me, they're at the police department. I said, this is not a mandatory part of the police academy. This is just an extra thing. So I'd be more than happy to go on back with them, and you guys can plow forward without me. Well, they compromised. And the reason I'm telling you this story is because, you know, even though I said that, there were others in that room. There was one other person who looked at the whole situation and said, I don't drink either. And it gave him courage to step up. So what was it I said just a moment ago? We need to be mindful of the impact that our lives have on those around us. They're going to watch how we act. They're going to watch how we react, specifically if they know that we are Christians or that we profess to be Christians. Does our walk match our talk? You know, our commitment to holiness can be a very powerful witness in the world. This is something that can draw others to Christ through our example. there's a statement that I understand where it's coming from, and it's used a lot, but it says, share the gospel with the whole world, and when necessary, use words. I understand what they're driving at. What they're saying is that you need to live a life that reflects Christ so that when people look at you, they see how a Christian ought to be according to the Word of God. But I also know this, we've never done better than when we've tried. You need to open your mouth. You need to share with people, you know, what your life was like before Christ. You know, what your life was like after you trusted Him. You know, you need to share your story. That's what a witness testifies to. A witness can only testify to what he or she has seen or heard. You can't tell my story, and I can't tell yours. So the bottom line is that the way we live in this world today, even with all the counter-biblical standards trying to pull us away from the Word of God, people are watching you. That to me, I think, and I've heard it, the reason I think it's because I've heard it from people. They sit back and say, one of the worst things in the world to be when you consider a witness are Christian people. That I've had people tell me that. They're like, the reason why is because I see them walk into a church and live one way in a biblical crowd of Christian people on a Sunday morning, but I see them live their lives as if they were residents of hell on Monday through Saturday. Folks, we've got to do better, plain and simple. So as we strive to live lives that are set apart for God, let us remember the words of Peter. He said, be holy, for I am holy. May we be faithful in our commitment to holiness, and may we resist the pressures of the culture around us as we reflect. Yeah, prayerfully, we can be reflectors of the holiness of our God in all the things that we do, that as people look at us, they say, wow, that guy right there is a Christian, and he lives what he believes. That is when your testimony makes more sense than anything, because they've lived, you're living it out in front of them. So I hope and trust and pray that this week you will strive for holiness. Maybe you've learned some things today from God's Word. Maybe the Holy Spirit's placed some things in your heart and your life that you need to adjust with Him right now. And I just pray that you will do that. So let me close our time today in a word of prayer. Then I'll let you know what we're looking at for next week. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful. Lord, thank you for calling us to be holy as you are holy. Lord, I pray that you will give us the strength and the courage to resist the cultural pressures that the world puts out there to us. Lord, designed to lead us astray. Lord, I pray that you will help us to live lives that truly reflect your holiness. Lord, may our commitment to holiness be a powerful witness to each and every person around us, Lord, and in such case that it might draw others to you. So, Lord, I ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty, folks, listen, before we take off, I want to just let you know that next week we've got a really special Sunday coming up. That's going to be Father's Day, okay? So we have one more sermon in our sermon series, but I'm going to put it on hold. I'm going to push it out one more week, because next week we want to look at the prodigal's father. So I want you to spend some time this week in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. We're specifically going to deal with verses 11 through 32 as we come together next week. And I will look forward to seeing you for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. As always, personal invitation from me to you. We'd love to have you join us for our services. Our services start at 10:45 a.m. on Sunday morning. We do have discipleship opportunities through Sunday school, through small groups, and various other means throughout the church. Please come and join us. We would love to have you with us. And I hope and trust and pray that if your dad's with you, as Father's Day approaches, that you will remember him in a great way. God bless you. Have a great week. I'll see you next week. Hopefully Sunday, but if not Sunday, right here next week. God bless.